time, doesn't it? Really makes us ever mindful of what we celebrate on this day. But it also brings us to the realization of what we celebrate every day, that we have the joy of living, that we have this marvelous, marvelous God who sustains us every day, watches over us and keeps us. And it's just the greatest thing. And yeah, all of you that were praying for a white Easter, you got your wish. You know, but even a white Easter can't put a damper on the power of the resurrection and the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And our text for this Easter Sunday is taken from the Gospel of St. John. And we will read from chapter 20. And we will read the first 23 verses of that chapter. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 23, where we read in the name of our Lord. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, in the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, indeed that is who you are, and we thank you, Father. Because that's really all that we can do. We thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our heart for all that you have done. You have lifted us and raised us to newness of life. You have given us, Father, the glorious gospel in your Son. His blood cleanses us from all iniquity, and we find rest and peace in him. And Father, this day, like every day, you give us by your grace, that, Father, so we may be sustained and we may so live and we may understand and know and share that gospel. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. It is indeed a stunning day that we celebrate. the reality of it perhaps is a little bit muted to us because we do this every year. But the reality of it in taking place on the first Easter is quite a stunning event. And we can't really fully appreciate it because we have believed in Jesus. We know who he is. Even his own disciples struggled to really come to the fact to understand, could it be, would it be, is it possible that he could rise from the dead? And we understand this because we all face death. You know, we face death, and we face it as a reality. And this is, you know, some of you I'm sure know this. This is the 13th anniversary of the death of my first wife. You know, she died this day in a car accident. When you face that death, you really come to the point of understanding the need for life. You recognize very clearly that when you come to death, death brings us to a point that physically we cannot transcend. We simply can't go beyond that point. Death brings us to an end. But what do we do with somebody that rises from the dead? And you understand that amazing reality that sets in. That in this man who dies, there is resurrection. He rises from the dead. He brings the promise of eternal life. He brings life. And the life is what gives us hope. The life is what gives us victory over the death. The life is what renews us and strengthens us so that even in the midst of the death, even when we're dealing with the death, there is this glorious message, this message of triumph, this message of grace. There is a message that this is not the end, that in reality it's kind of like Bonhoeffer at his death. He said, this is the end for me, but it's the beginning. It's really the beginning. The beginning. And this is the message of Easter. The message of Easter is a message of hope. It's a message of triumph. It's a message of life. It brings us to this place where we transcend the death, where no longer are we bound by the death. The death, to us, does not become an end. It just means a change of address, honestly, and the mail service can't deliver your mail. It really brings us to the point of understanding what Jesus told Martha. The one who believes in me will never die. Says, will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? She says, yes, Lord, yes. And that really is the answer. The answer is yes. Paul says that. With God, the answer is yes. He says, the answer to us is yes. The answer is yes. It's life. It's life. It's a yes. God says yes. And this is really what takes place on Easter. God speaks a gigantic yes. He says yes. Even the disciples had a hard time believing this. Mary, who knew Jesus very closely, Mary the Magdalene, she comes, she knew Jesus very closely. She loved Jesus very much. And she had heard what he had said. And yet, she comes to the point of the empty tomb and where somebody must have taken him someplace. Even Peter and John have a hard time believing when they stoop and look into the tomb. And when they come, after she runs back and gets them, they look in and it's like, well, where is he? You know, where can he be? And it's only from the announcement of God that we really come to understand the power of the resurrection, that this has to be something new, has to be something different. It can't take place on the plane of our understanding. It's never going to take place on the plane of our understanding. It takes place only as it's revealed and given to us by the grace of God to understand the power of this thing, to embrace it, to understand it and know it and to live it. And that's really the key. It says even the disciples didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't understand the scripture. that he would have to rise again. And then this beautiful thing takes place, and we don't really understand this fully either, but you understand why women are so important in the church. Oftentimes, the place of women is kind of dismissed, and we don't understand. Women are very, very important in the church, have been all the way through. You understand that it was Eve that first fell, and the scripture brings that out. Paul says that very clearly. But you also understand it was through Mary, the virgin, the restoration came. God saved us through the woman who had first fallen. And it's to a woman that he first makes his appearance on the resurrection day, in order to show us the power of this restoration, to realize that now the church brings all people together. It brings them all together. It ministers to all of them. It strengthens all of them. It brings all of them. It knows no station in that regard. It knows nothing of this. It is to Mary that he appears. And Mary, the Magdalene, is weeping, looking into the sepulcher. And the angels come to Mary. And they ask her, "Why are you crying?" And that's kind of almost like a duh question, isn't it? I mean, she's sitting there looking in a tomb. You wonder, well, why are you crying? Well, because I'm here to visit somebody who's dead, you know, because it's sad. And she says, well, they took the body away. They took the body away. And I don't know where he's at. And it says that she turned around and she looked back and she saw Jesus, but she didn't know it was him. Now, how does that take place? This woman had just spent 3 years with him, and she loved him to death. But she couldn't recognize him. She couldn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him. And we realize very clearly, because it's very important now to realize it's only by the grace of God, only by the revelation of God, that a person comes to know and to see Jesus. Even Mary couldn't recognize him. She didn't know it. And Jesus says to her, "Why are you crying?" And she thinks that he's like the caretaker. And she says, "Well, you must have taken him someplace. Where did you take him?" "And I'll take him away." And this amazing thing takes place. He calls her by name. He simply calls her by her name. He says, "Mary." And that's what's so important to understand about Easter. Do you know that your God knows you by name? He knows you by name. You are so dear to him that he knows you by name. He knows you by name. He will call you by name. He knows you by name. You're not just that guy or that woman over there or somebody or something that just kind of wanders around. You have a name, and your God knows you by name. He knows you by name. He formed you in the womb. He made you to be what you are. He gave you to be what you are. And he knows you by name. He calls you by name. And it's at the moment when Jesus calls her by name, when he calls her by name, then all of a sudden the revelation is made as to who he is. And she turns to him and she says, "Rabboni," in Aramaic, which is teacher, teacher, master, Lord, all of these things. She says, "Rabboni," because that's the whole point, isn't it? We come to our God and our God acknowledges us. He knows who we are. And no matter where we are, he knows who we are and he knows where we are. He knows what we are. He knows who we are. And this is what we need to understand when we come into this place, when we come to dealing with Easter. Easter doesn't stop here. Easter just begins. It's always just a new beginning. We're always beginning. Well, what are we beginning to do? We need to see people. We need to know them. And they need to know. They need to know that Lord. We need to see them. We need to see people. Every one of you needs to be seen and to be known and to be recognized because you are so valuable in the eyes of your God that he sent his son to suffer and die for you, to make you pure and holy in his sight, to give us that understanding so that this is what we would understand by the grace of God, to be pure and holy in the sight of our God, to be recognized by name, that we're washed in the blood, made like him we rise. Charles Wesley. Oh my gosh, could that guy write lyrics? Made like him we rise. That we understand very clearly, this is the promise. The promise of Easter is not some distant event 2,000 years ago. It's an everyday happening that takes place for us. It speaks to us constantly. It is our Lord speaking to us and telling us, I know you by name. Oh, yeah, yeah, I can call you by name. I know you by name. I know exactly who you are. I know where you are. I know everything that you've done. I know all of it, all of it, all of it. And you are mine. You are mine. I call you by name because you're mine. And I have washed you, and I have cleansed you, and I have made you holy in my sight forever, and I have made you to live forever. And that's the intent of all of this, is to live forever, is to live. It's this message that fills up Easter, and no wonder she was so excited when she saw him. He's alive. He's alive. And so are you. That's the whole point. He's alive, and so are you. And I don't mean just that your heart is beating. I mean you are alive forever. I mean you live. I mean you cannot die. You do not have the permission to die. I hate to tell you. You don't have that permission. You don't have the right to die. You will not be given the right to die. All that will happen is your physical flesh will expire, but you will not die. You cannot die because Jesus is risen from the dead and he has taken us with him. And that's the whole point. And that's why he tells her, don't grab onto me. This isn't, he's not saying don't touch me. He doesn't mean that. I'm sure she just was all over him, you know, and the whole point was that she was holding on to him. She was going to make sure, okay, you got away from me once. That ain't going to happen again, you know. Probably wrapped around his leg and holding on to him and, you know, I'm not letting you go. And he says very clearly, he says, you have to. He says, you have to let me go. He says, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. I have to ascend to the Father. In order for all of this to be complete, I've got to ascend to the Father. And it's fascinating what he says, though. He tells her. He tells Mary. Go to my brethren. He says, you go to my brothers and you tell them. I ascend to my Father and your Father. And see, it's very easy to miss what he's really saying. He says, by the power of his resurrection, we have now been restored to being the children of God. He says to the disciples, I'm ascending to my Father, but he's also your Father. And this is one of the few places where he says, to my God. He says, I'm ascending to my God. He says, into your God. You get what I'm saying? You with me here? You on that wavelength? You understand? You collapse in the wave function at this point. You realize what's going on here? He just told us that we have been restored. Everything that was lost in the Garden of Eden has now been restored. We've been restored to life. We've been restored to fullness. We have been restored to this place, this understanding, where now this is our Father, our Father. We say that all the time in the Lord's Prayer. I don't think we really think of that, those first two words that we say, our Father, our Father, our Father, ours. This is our God, our Father, because we are the offspring. we have been restored. And he says to Mary, you go tell the apostles. Now, I want you to understand one of the great things we miss in this all the time. This is a woman who is the apostle to the apostles. That's what she was called in the ancient church. She becomes the apostle to the apostles. She brings the first good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She's the first preacher of the word. She brings it to the apostles. And she tells them. Because God raised up everything that happened in the Garden of Eden. He reversed it. He reversed the curse. He brought all of this in restoration so that this understanding would take place, that there would be this realization now. It's through Mary. Mary that the word is heard by the apostles. She's sent by Jesus to announce the word. And that's what she does. That's just simply what she does. Amazing thing. She's just obedient. What a foolish thing to think. How simple is this? Just be obedient. Just like the first Mary. Mary, she hears this wonderful thing from the angel about how she's going to bear a child when she's not even married yet, and all these sort of things like that. And she says, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me as the Lord has said. What's that? We sit there and think, man, we got to question this. We got to figure this out. You know, we got to ask somebody, can this really take place? You know, this how this happens. You know, we got to hear it on the news. You know, somebody's got to tell us. You know, we got to read it in the newspaper. We got to do something. You know, it's like we need verification. We need all this sort of stuff. She simply hears this from the Lord and she goes and does what he says. She tells the disciples. She announces the good news. And that's why the announcement of the good news is not gender specific. Any person can freely walk down the street and announce the good news. That's all it takes. All it takes is just to walk out the door and tell somebody the good news. Here's the good news. Jesus is alive. I remember Jack Bergstedt years ago, he talked about there was a revival up here in Hancock in 1948. Jack Bergstedt said he was, I can't remember how old he was. He was just a very young man. Walked down the street, started walking down the street in Hancock, and he started telling people, Jesus is alive, and he's forgiven you for your sins. Just walking down the street, yelling at people, walking down the street. I'm sure people thought he was nuts. He wasn't nuts. It's us who's nuts. We won't do it. We're like scared. Instead of understanding, well, no, this is the deal. It's just that easy. Jesus is alive. And as a matter of fact, he's alive for every person that's out there. He's alive for the whole lot of them, even those people out there in the snow. He's alive for them. He's alive for them. He's their Savior. And he's risen from the dead. And he rose for them. And we have the great privilege of being apostles. We're sent to bring the message, to just tell them, hey, guess what? You know, Jesus is alive. And as a matter of fact, he's alive for you. He's alive for you. And that's why when he appears to the disciples, he comes. And they're scared to death. They're still scared to death. He comes and he shows up in the upper room. And people try to figure out, how does he do that? I always like those questions. People say, how could Jesus do that? It's kind of like, duh, he's Jesus. He happens to be God. If he wants to show up and do anything, that's what he does. I mean, it doesn't, you know, like figure out how could Jesus get into the room if they had the door barred. It's like, man, get a clue. You know, if you're going to have a God, guess what? He does what he wants. I remember when I was a kid, they used to tell those sort of jokes, you know. What does a 500-pound canary do? Anything it wants, you know, because this is the whole point. Jesus shows up in the midst of them because he happens to be God. He happens to be the Son of the living God. He comes into their midst, and they're scared to death. And he tells them a very simple thing, peace. Says, you have peace. Says, peace be unto you. And he shows them the marks that he bears. to show them, yeah, actually, I was actually physically dead. I really was dead, and now I'm really alive. And it says the disciples are all excited when they see this. And again, he says, peace be unto you. But then he adds to it, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And now you know what I was talking about before. You see, that's an apostle. An apostle is one who's sent. That's all that means in Greek. He says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He says, well, how did he send him? Well, he sent him into the world. To do what? To do nice things. He did nice things. He did good things for people. He healed a lot of people. He talked to them about the kingdom of God. He told them about the salvation that he would work through his death and his resurrection. He went out and he announced that to people. And he announced it to a bunch of scumbuckets. You recognize that, don't you? He purposely did that with scumbuckets. He picked out people who were very immoral and people who did not live up to the code. And he picked up, worst of all, he picked up tax people. Tax people, the people that take your money, the tax people. He went and he talked to the tax people and told them they could be saved. When you do your taxes, you're not sitting there thinking, I hope those people are saved. You're thinking, I wish they'd leave me more of my money. Jesus went out there to the tax farmers, the tax people. He went to the immoral. He went to the people that we wouldn't think, you know, really belong in church. Well, guess what? The church should be full of them. And don't think you're so hot either. Because none of us are. We come here only and solely because of this announcement that says, peace be unto you. You have peace. As a matter of fact, your sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And as the Father sent me, he says, so I'm sending you. You go out and you go get them. And that's the whole point. The whole point is you just go out and get them. He doesn't say you figure out their pedigree. You know, we have that famous Finnish thing, you know, whose boy are you? You know, it's none of that. It's just simply go get them. Jesus says, go get them. That wonderful parable where he talks about, you know, everybody being invited to the feast, they don't show up. He says, go out and get everybody else. Go bring them in. And then they bring some people in. He says, nah, that's not enough. He says, you need to go get more. And they say, so they start combing through the city. Then they bring those people in. He says, nah, that's not enough. He says, I want you to go get everybody. I want you to get the whole lot of them. I want you to get all of them in here. All of them. We're not sorters, we're gatherers. That's all we do. We just bring them all in. Somebody says to me, I'm not worthy to be in church. You know, it's kind of like, well, I hate to tell you, if there were a litmus test, none of us are worthy to be in church. You know, that's not the point. You know, the whole point is that's why we come to church. Not because we're worthy to come to church, but because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come and we freely receive. And in his blood, he makes us worthy. He gives us that grace so that we can be found at peace. And that's what he's saying. But he's not done there. He breathes on them. You might think that's kind of weird, you know. But actually, he's just doing the same thing that his Father did on the day of creation. When he breathed into that pile of soil, and it became a living being. Jesus breathes on them. He gives them the breath of life. He restores the breath of life to them. So that they understand now, you've been born again. You have a new life. My resurrection is your resurrection. My life is your life. It was my life for yours. And now my life is your life, and you live. He breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now you have the new life. You have the Holy Spirit. And who are you? You're me in the world. He says, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you withhold, they're withheld. He says, you're me in the world. He says, I'm sending you out as me in the world. That's all. You go out as me in the world. What do? You go out into the world. What are you doing? Well, you're bringing in all these people. What are you doing? You're doing nice things for them. He says, you're doing good things for them. He says, you're remembering them. Do you ever notice that? How somebody will hear this? I was just listening to a person that I listen to all the time, Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm kidding, I don't. But the fact of the matter is that she said one of the greatest things I've ever heard. She started talking about how she would go meet these people, and she met all these people from all different walks of life, all of these people like that. And she just started to tell them, with all these different people she met from all sorts of different religious backgrounds, everything, she just started to tell them how much God loved them. She just started to tell them, I want you to know how much God loves you. God just loves you. You know, God just flat out loves you. She said two of the guys that were like real hardcore, like, you know, pretty nasty guys, looked at her and said, you know, in all the days that we've ever talked to Christian people, no one's ever told us that. They told us how rotten we are and how bad we are and how we don't add up, we don't fit. But nobody's ever simply told us, just simply, God loves us. Well, guess what? God loves them, the whole lot of them. A whole lot of them. And that's the message of Easter. The scripture says the Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. So that now we would understand. We don't have to ask questions. We don't ask any questions. We don't care where they come from. We don't care what they think. You know, we think sometimes we have to have a political debate with people. We don't. You know, we have to carry out all these issues that are so important. Let me tell you, that stuff is preaching to the choir. You know, that's what happens. We do too much preaching to the choir. We like to get into places where you can talk about issues and hammer the pulpit and do all that sort of stuff, you know. Tell people all this stuff, you know, and all these sort of things, and everybody's sitting there nodding their head. What a waste of time. Honest to goodness, what a waste of time. That's just preaching to the choir. The choir sits there and says, amen, okay, yeah, okay, great. You know, what we got to do is get out to people who are out there, who don't necessarily think the same way that we do, who don't necessarily operate in the same way that we do, who need to know that the blood of Jesus Christ is for them, that Jesus rises for them. The summons is to them. He's telling them, I love you. I love you. You come to me. You come to me. I'll take whatever you got, because I will take it, and I will make you new. And I will make you holy, and I will make you pure. And that's why there's nobody that isn't worthy to come to church. There's nobody that isn't worthy to be here. And if they think they're not worthy to be here, then we blow the doors off this place and get out there to them. You know, we do like St. Chrysostom that he used to do in Constantinople, rope off a chunk of the market and start having a church service. You know, because... And that would be really cool, you know, if you had all those animals making all that noise and people running all over the place, and all of a sudden you're having a church service, and they're not all sitting there quiet like this, you know, because that's what we do at church. We sit there quiet like this, you know, and you wonder, where did that ever come from? I don't know where that ever came from, that quiet like this thing. The church was supposed to be an open-air type of thing, where you would understand very clearly, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for people. That's what we want, is people to come and people to understand you freely come. And that's the message of Easter. We freely come. Just freely come. Freely come. Honest to goodness, freely come. That's the whole point. You just freely come and you freely receive, because the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of his resurrection, is for each and every one of us, and it's for this whole world. The reality is that this is a lot more than chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs. This is really the glory of the living God making this marvelous realization. You just freely come. And today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's really cool when you can do the Lord's Supper on Easter Sunday, because that's what we want you to understand. I don't care what your background is. I really could care less. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you think. I could care less about any of that, because I don't honestly care about what I think or how I think. The reality is that you simply just come. You're just invited, that's all. You're invited. The invitation's open. And you understand very clearly that all of our beloved ones who have passed on before us, they're all just on the other side of this rail. That's what we confess in the communion of saints. They're all there. They're all alive. I told you that story before. My dad, last time I saw my dad while he was still alive, he said he could barely talk because he had bad emphysema. Pulled me down and he said, Jay, says, I just want you to understand. He says, every time that you do communion, every time you do the Lord's Supper, you understand, I'll be there. He says, I'll be there. I'll just be on the other side. You won't be able to see me, but I'll be there. Because we don't have permission to die. We don't have permission to stop. We only have permission to live. And that permission is given to everyone. And it simply says, you just come. You freely come. You freely come. Partake of the body and blood of your Lord. Because he gives you life. He gives you life. He puts it right in your mouth. He gives you life. So that we would feed upon him. That we would know that life. And day in and day out, we would walk in newness of life. Isn't it cool that St. Paul says that? We're to walk in newness of life, not the old one. Don't walk around the old one telling God how rotten we are. We walk in the new one telling God, thank you. We thank him. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the invitation. And thank you for the grace to receive it. So you come. You come. You freely come. And may God fill us all with the powerful benediction and grace of Easter, that we, when we walk out that door, that we're just as filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God to encounter his world with the gospel, to make the announcement known that people can just freely come. Freely come, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this glorious day. That's every day, the day you have made. It's a day of life, a day of grace, a day of celebration, a day of joy, a day of restoration, and a day, Father, that never ends. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for that life. Grant us your grace that we would always simply just be obedient and live it. Just simply do what you say. That in all things, your name would be hallowed and glorified for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.